Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything that is going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it from your own lives based on what these celebrities are going through. It is a PhD level program. It is super hard to get into, so you guys are very smart cookies. This is an Ivy League school. It's very inspirational, educational. What could be better? Having the sexiest podcast host in North America sensually whisper all of this tea right into your ear. I am so sorry for missing last week. Thank you guys for being so patient. I love my students. I was craving talking to you guys, but last week was fucking crazy. As you know, I have a spider infestation in my apartment, as if this is the new season of American Horror Story with Kim Kardashian having a pregnant stomach as a spider. I literally was so depressed, I grew out a beard. You know how girls dye their hair when they go through something traumatic? I think that's what guys do. So that's just what I had to do. I was broken down. Really just pummeled to the ground, then came back. I bounced back. What you know about that? I was riding real high and then was taken down again in the last 2 weeks. Met celebrities, saw some inside tea in real life, saw famous influencers, went to all these events. So there's just so much to catch up on, students. And you know, Professor Patty is going to keep it real with you guys. I have an update on everything going on, including the spider infestation, my love life, and of course, the world of celebrities is that shit crazy in the last 2 weeks. I was like, oh my God, I need to get on my mic right now. I need to talk to my students. I need to get in front of my class and just tell them what the hell is going on. I feel like this is that moment in school or like college. This always happens with college professors. They come back from the weekend and you can just tell they had a crazy weekend. They went through it. They were partying. They went to Las Vegas that weekend or something. You know when your college professors just don't take their class very seriously and they come back looking disheveled as fuck and you just know some shit happened at home? This is the moment I'm having right now. So we must talk about Ariana Grande. Her whole life is fucking imploding. She has no more lip filler, no more real fans, no husband. She's moving in with SpongeBob SquarePants. Taylor Swift has a new boyfriend that is trying to use her for clout, or maybe she's trying to use him for clout. We must talk about all these crazy songs that have been written about Scooter Braun, including a brand new song that was written about Scooter Braun by a pop star that I just met this week. And of course, the whole industry is turning against him, and he's like the most famous pop music manager of all time. So we just really need to dissect the Scooter Braun downfall, as well as Kim Kardashian losing control of her kids a little bit. And North and Saint are retaliating against the paparazzi, just like their dad, Kanye. So crazy episode. Going to be so much fun. Make sure you rate this podcast 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcasts before we get into it. That really helps it get pushed on Spotify. I'm seeing more people just discover it that way. I don't have a big company doing it for me anymore. So if you would just do that, it would mean the absolute most. But without further ado, take your seats, face forward, pay attention because Pop Culture University is beginning. Oh, I have lower back pain and I do not know why. Every time I do leg day, it just hurts a little bit. Maybe my form is wrong. Maybe my ass is too fat. I need one of those sexy chiropractors to just lay me on their table and whisper in my ear, "Are you ready?" And then just boom, crack my back as I let out a soft moan. But anyway, it's time for the bell ringer, which is the shorter, sweeter segment to get our juices flowing, warm you up for class, to not stick it in dry. We're going to get things a little bit wet here. And we're talking about Kim Kardashian West, because why the fuck wouldn't we? So her kids take after Kanye when it comes to the paparazzi. And we know Kanye doesn't motherfucking play when it comes to the paps. He'll put them in their place immediately. Last week, the paps caught him getting his dick sucked in Italy. And I'm sure he suplexed whatever photographer did that. Unfortunately, that the photographer was able to send that photo to TMZ before he just completely curb stomped that camera. However, we know he doesn't play. He's broken photographers' fingers before, threatens to run them over with their car. He has that iconic video where the paparazzi's like, good morning, Kanye. And he's like, shut the fuck up. I love that video. Say what you want about Kanye, he's fucking funny when it comes to the paparazzi. And so are his kids. So Saint West, their 7-year-old son, Kim and Saint yesterday were walking into his basketball game, you know, his Little League basketball game, preparing to be a baller. Kim is trying to see what talents her kids have. You know, she's like, can North paint? Can Sam play basketball? Can Chicago sing? She's trying to source ways to exploit them right off the bat. So they were going into his basketball game. And I don't know why, but right when the paparazzi showed up at the door, isn't it also weird that paparazzi can be at an elementary school like that? That to me crosses a line. Why? You're not going to get a juicy shot outside of an elementary school of Kim wearing her mom jeans and holding fucking Psalm's hand. You need to be camped out of the Beverly Hills Hotel to get a photo of Kim and whoever she's hooking up with walking out of there. That's where you need to be, paparazzi. But anyway, Saint rolled up, was walking towards the door, and right when he saw the paparazzi, the inner Kanye came out. You can see the look in his eye flip from Kardashian to West, and just immediately stuck up his middle finger. His little, tiny, little middle finger that would fit in the smallest mittens right at that cameraman. But just because it's tiny does not mean the cameraman didn't fucking feel it. And he was smiling as he did it. Saint and North have now both successfully flipped off the paparazzi. And we know North hates the paparazzi because she has that, when she was at Fashion Week, she carried a sign that said stop when the paparazzi were trying to take photos of her. She does not work for free. She's already building that bank account. But isn't it so funny that they both flip off the camera? I just know they learned that from Kanye. They're at home flipping each other off all day. If you steal my Legos, bitch, they're flipping each other off. So Kim didn't like this, obviously. So she kind of like looked over at Saint and was disappointed and covered his mouth. But Saint was just laughing so fucking hard. He said, bitch, I said what I said. But when they got inside, you kind of saw Kim look down at him and say some words to him. She took off her Balenciaga sunglasses for a moment and was like, honey, we reserved that sign for Grandma Caitlin. That's the only person we do that to. Kim, on the other hand, though, she loves the paparazzi. She eats that shit up. Anytime she sees a paparazzi, you see her posture go up a little bit. She sticks the ass out, sticks the boobs out, trying to get the best shot she possibly can. So while it does kind of suck that North, Saint, Solomon, Chicago have to be paparazzi trained at such a young age and are going to be harassed by them forever, Kim definitely benefits from it. They just have to take paparazzi 101. Also, do you know what's so fucking weird? Caitlyn Jenner, who I was just talking about, that raggedy Republican, is going to be in a new documentary about exposing the Kardashians. How dare you? First, the Vanity Fair book, and then this. Kris Jenner was right. You are a bitch, Caitlyn. So this source says, the 73-year-old former Olympian claimed that her 42-year-old stepdaughter, Kim Kardashian, was very calculated in her attempt to become famous. Caitlyn said, from the beginning, Kimberly was very calculated about all the steps in order to become famous. In this documentary as well, that will be on Sky docuseries called, it's going to be called House of Kardashian. They also basically confirm that Kim's sex tape was fake. Like, they have people who know the Kardashians. This is what this documentary is going to be all about. So many people who have direct knowledge of them. It's not onlookers. It's not gossipers or like people who study sociology or whatever. It's direct sources about the Kardashians. So Caitlyn is in there. It's weird that she is almost corroborating or like confirming the reports of the sex tape being fake by just being in the documentary. To me, it sounds like she is confirming it by just being complicit in being in it. So I think that's super shady. But reports came out like last year saying that Caitlyn barely talks to any of the Kardashian daughters anymore. And you know she doesn't talk to Kris. Kris never wants to talk to her ex-wife ever again. This 3-part docuseries airs on Sky Documentaries and Now TV at the start of October. And it aims to co-found expectations and challenge what society knows about the Kardashians, exploring their rise, reach, and the cost that comes with being some of the most famous women on the planet. It comes out on October 8th. But what I'm more excited about is that Kim Kardashian in American Horror Story comes out tomorrow. That was my best scream queen scream that I gave out without hurting your ears. That was my whistle tone scream. You're welcome. There was past American Horror Story actors, Patti LuPone, I believe her name is. She was really mad that Kim was cast, and she went on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And he was like, how do you feel about Kim Kardashian taking one of the spots in American Horror Story? And she says, I hate it. I'm so annoyed about it. And this is coming from someone on the show. So, you know, it just adds that shock that she's really just saying that. Like, Kim is ruining her home ground, her stomping ground, a Kardashian in the fucking show, just ruining all this shit. And she's also just mad that Kim is taking a job away from an actor, especially in these trying times in Hollywood where actors are not really working right now, but Ryan Murphy's so powerful, he got around it in some way and got to put out the show. I'm thankful for it. I cannot fucking wait. Emma Roberts and Kim Kardashian, what an iconic scream queen duo. Ryan Murphy continuously feeds the gays, and one of my problematic opinions is that I'm a Ryan Murphy stan. He made Glee, Scream Queens, Nip Tuck, American Horror Story, like everything he does, I bow at the feet of Ryan Murphy, and he is like my Jesus. So he's feeding the gays exactly what we want, and it's gonna be some sinister fucked up shit. Kim is playing like an evil Hollywood manager of some sort, so she's kind of tapping into her inner Kris Jenner, and she's managing an A-list celebrity who is Emma Roberts, while also like sabotaging her pregnancy. And it's this whole story about how this woman who wants an Oscar but also a baby turns to IVF. But in her IVF journey, she thinks these crazy doctors put something inside of her that is not a baby, but maybe some sort of monster or spider. There's spiders all over the posters. And as you know, Kim Kardashian hates spiders. She cannot stand a fucking spider. If she sees a spider next to her, you think the world is ending. She screams at the top of her fucking lungs. So she's going to win an Emmy for this just for pretending to like spiders. And Lady Gaga won a Golden Globe for American Horror Story. So it'd be so funny if Kim did too. That would be such a Marilyn Monroe moment. Oh my God. If Kim wins a Golden Globe, she's going to eat that shit up. She's going to be like, this is my Marilyn Monroe moment. Because Marilyn Monroe won a Golden Globe right before she died. Oh, so you know she's going after it. She's going after the Golden Globe in this series. We need to watch. And we need to tweet about how amazing her acting is. Okay, students, please do that for me. The world owes Ariana Grande an apology. Apologize! None of you, my students, were going in on her. I know that. Because I've just taught you guys better than that as the professor. My students are summa cum laude. They're smarter than that. And if you did send Ariana Grande hate, hand in your cap and gown, you're expelled. But Ariana Grande deserves a fucking apology. Do you know why? Because her official date of separation was just released, as well as the date of separation of Ethan and his Who from Whoville ex-wife, Lily J. Ariana Grande is not a home wrecker. Her and her home seller, ex-husband Dalton Gomez, he's a real estate agent, both filed for divorce officially yesterday, Monday, September 18th. Oh my, I'm so proud of myself for remembering the date. Holy shit. They both filed for divorce on the same day, but their official date of separation was cited in their divorce filings as February 20th, 2023. Ethan Slater, aka SpongeBob, and the Who from Whoville, Lily J, also had their divorce happen before May, which is when Ariana and Ethan started to get together and hook up before Ariana got into his square-shaped pants. Anyway, Ariana and Dalton Gomez, I'm already forgetting his name because he's a relic of the past, now relegated back to obscurity where he belongs. Dalton Gomez, they both filed for divorce. At the same time, jointly, they recited irreconcilable differences. That's the go-to in Hollywood, irreconcilable differences, aka Dalton is a bitch. She had the amazing divorce lawyer, Laura Wasser. No one has more tea than Laura Wasser. If, like, right before I die, I need Laura Wasser to tell me all the tea. You know, when, like, the government has secrets and they're like, if we tell you this, we have to kill you. If we tell you the moon landing was actually fake, we have to kill you immediately after. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear all Laura Wasser's tea. She divorces everyone, like Kim Ye. I don't know. She just divorces everyone. So they had a prenup. Thank goodness. That means Ariana Grande gets to keep all of the clout, not share any with Dalton Gomez anymore. But yeah, this just really proves that Ariana Grande was never a homewrecker at all. Everyone thought she was this siren that was attracting men with her beautiful voice. People thought she was singing her way to ruining homes left and right. She was walking through the streets and homes were just exploding behind her because she has the best voice in the world and she's so pretty. She puts these guys under a spell that just lures them away from their husbands. No, that does not fucking happen. And I'm so happy it was confirmed that that never happened. Case dismissed, bring in the dancing lobsters. So our sources say that there were no hard feelings in their divorce. The love just kind of fell out. You know, they got together during COVID. COVID relationships were not meant to last at all. And it's silly to me that they really ever thought that that would. Ariana is really a career woman too. She's going to put her career first. And that's why she just said peace and left her stay-at-home husband at home while she filmed two parts of Wicked. I commend her for that. She doesn't need to be tied down there. And she's still like young. She's 30. I love seeing all my favorite pop star girlies single and having a good time at 30. Because 30 is the new 20. You're still super fucking young. You're still exploding. You're still growing. That's like where people are peaking. So enjoy your hotness, your singleness by yourself. You don't need a smelly, stingy, annoying man holding you down. And that goes for all my students listening to this too. 30 is so fucking young. You're peaking. Like you have so much to just relish in and be present for in your 30s. I would not rush to tie myself down at all. So them being single just makes me so happy. But the sources say that they've been really caring and respectful of one another every step of this process. They took so long to actually file from February to now September because they wanted to take their time to settle everything and get their papers in order, who was going to get what, how this was going to go down. And I love that Ariana hired Laura Wasser because she wants to give Dalton the least amount of money she possibly can. And I don't blame her. Apparently she had to write him one check for something that was not revealed as to why, but she did have to give him some sort of money, but it was only on a one-time payment. And she could literally just post an Instagram story about her makeup that she puts in spaceships and make it all back. Because at the end of the day, she is a capitalist. She does not need to be giving anyone any money. We learned that in her song, Seven Rings. But matching diamonds for six of my bitches. Seven rings is going to have a whole new meaning if she gets engaged five more times. Because then there's going to be seven rings and she can put on another version of seven rings. But yeah, it's going to take on a whole new fucking meaning if she keeps getting engaged. But you know, if that's what she wants to do, good for her. Some more tea is that Ariana Grande moved in with Ethan, apparently. Or I guess we should say Ethan moved in with her, obviously. She's not going to downgrade. She's not going to go live in the pineapple under the sea with SpongeBob motherfucking SquarePants. So they're probably living in one of her 17 houses in a real estate portfolio while Lily J is living under a rock like Patrick Starr. And it's so weird to me because now it is obviously Ethan Slater has a child. So is Ariana the stepmom to that if they last? I do not know if I could see Ariana Grande as a stepmom. Like the baby would already be bigger than her. She'll buy the baby its first ponytail, eat lollipops with it. I feel like Ariana would just not take that shit seriously. And I don't know, I just see kids a bit later in Ariana Grande's life. I don't really see them right now. Maybe in like 8 years, 10 years. I don't know. I don't think she needs to be a stepmom right now. Not that I don't support her and Ethan, but do I think this will last? No. I think they met in a situational circumstance just like her and Dalton did. And once these situations change, as they already have, it is going to switch up. And we know Ariana Grande loves a rebound. She caught the iconic rebound of Pete Davidson that she then passed to Kim Kardashian and all these other celebrities. So yeah, we will see. But so she has no real husband anymore. And now she has no real fans. Ariana Grande's life is just going down the fucking drain because her fans keep leaking all of her songs. I'm an Arianator. I'm the number one Ariana Grande fan. And all my students know this. Her music opened me up to music in its entirety. When I was growing up, like super young, music wasn't a big part of my day. I wasn't thinking about it. I wouldn't even turn on, well, my parents were driving, obviously, I was like 10, but I wouldn't be like craving to turn it on or anything. I didn't really care about music. But I remember the first time hearing Ariana Grande's music in the car, I loved it so much. I went home and I researched all about her, and I needed to replay her songs over and over and over again, just becoming obsessed with how it made me feel and feeling the music go through me and how inspired it made me feel. And her music is so amazing. It opened me up to a world of music. Music became such a big part of my life from all artists, not just her. It made me appreciate it so deeply. So Ariana Grande is the reason I'm kind of so into music and pop culture. I'm fucking obsessed with her. And if you're not an Arianator, you're expelled. I'm just kidding. I understand if you don't. There's plenty of amazing musicians to obsess over and love and just put more of your energy into. But Ariana Grande's fans seem to be turning against her in a way where they keep leaking her songs. I'm sure you've heard this on TikTok if you're on there, but her song called Fantasize is going super, super, super fucking viral, and it's a leaked song. I love it though. And a 9 to 5, I give this pussy to you, 9 to 5. 9 to 9, I fantasize about it all the time. You are mine. I give this pussy to you, 9 to 5, 5 to 9. Oh, she's such a little hoe in her music. I love it. And I'm saying that in the most revered way. Like, obviously, she's talking about being sexually promiscuous. We love that. I'm obsessed with that. I stand that. That is who she should be. That's the Ariana Grande I love. Some 34, 35 shit. Some like this pussy was designed for you type of shit, some walking side to side dick bicycle. But anyway, it has hundreds of thousands of streams on all streaming platforms. It's playing in like department stores in other countries. I don't know what department store is playing now, like a sex shop, because that's a little bit explicit. I don't know if little Johnny needs to be hearing that while he's shopping for sandals at Old Navy. But yeah, it's playing in stores, and Ariana Grande is sick of it. If you don't know, she's had so many songs leaked this year, and she does not know who this hacker is. And that's really, really, really fucking scary. But she posted under a TikTok and she said, this is so disheartening. I was going to come back to this hook and use it eventually. I don't know how people are still doing this, but please stop. Damn. Can you fucking believe that? I was going to come back to this hook and use it eventually. How sad. How, like, violating. Being hacked is the most violating feeling. And that's her art. Give her time. Some art needs time to come to life. It needs years. And these fans are shooting themselves in the foot when they think they're getting one up on her and they just love her so much that they want to hack her whole life and hear her music early. Like, they're mad at her that she's not putting out music, so they're going to go steal it from her. It's like when someone has a stalker and the stalker thinks that their subject will love them if they break into their house and show them all their photos of them they've taken. Like, no, Ariana Grande, that's not going to make you as a fan get anything positive from Ariana Grande. She's going to hate you. If I was her, I would pull out some Doja Cat shit. I would send in an airstrike like Doja Cat and start telling them all to fuck themselves and saying that they're little bitches. So you're not a true fan if you're doing that to her. So now she sued the person who leaked Fantasize. Thank God. She sued that bitch. That fan called Ariana Venti on Twitter. I hate stan names. Ariana Venti. Are you kidding me? Other stan names are always like Ariana Grande's left nipple or something. The stan names on Twitter are so stupid. But this person was making money off of it by putting it on Spotify. The nerve, bitch. How dare they profit off of a crime they're doing against the incomparable Ariana Grande, Miss Ponytail. They made over $10,000 from it. So Ariana Grande took them to court and they were fined much more than $10,000. And then they tweeted, "Hello, as you all know, I went to court yesterday. It did not go very well. They pulled up my tweets, the money I made from the songs, and other information. But as they say, play stupid games, win stupid prizes." She has to pay more than $10,000 and serve 48 hours of community service. Fuck yes. That's what you deserve, you little hacker trollop. And I'm happy Ariana Grande used this person as an example. This is what happens when you leak shit. Because when you leak things in the music industry, your record label won't let you put it out anymore because they won't think you'll make any money off of it because everyone already knows it. That's why Cardi B, in one of her songs, she was like, won't be a song if I leak shit. She was like threatening one of the other rap girls, one of the other rap hoes, that she's going to leak their song so they can't put it out. Like, you can't do that or you're never going to hear it. I don't know how serious hacking is taken in the court of law, but it really needs to be taken as one of the most heinous offenses. Something that is tried as the utmost horrible crimes, because in this day and age, no one is safe. We have everything on our phones. We have our whole lives on our phones. All of us. So it needs to be something super, super, super fucking serious, and the laws need to keep up with it. Ariana used to play it off as funny when her songs would get leaked. Like 6 months ago, she did a Rem Beauty tutorial on YouTube, and she said, I'm going to do an impression as I always do. You guys have heard every bad song and bad demo I've ever made. It's hilarious. It's impossible to keep things from you. You got to take some swings and misses. I'm all out of secrets. You've stolen all my unreleased music. It's horrible. Maybe Lily J is leaking them, because she's so bitter that she took her husband. She said, I'm going to take some of your songs, bitch. Do you like my impression? It's kind of Cat Valentine-y. But anyway, if I was Ariana Grande, I would keep taking my stupid fans to court. So anyway, case closed again. Bring in the dancing lobsters. So the last thing Ariana Grande doesn't have, she doesn't have real fans, she doesn't have a husband, and she also has no more lip filler. No money, no family, 16 in the middle of Miami. Ariana is going through something, really. Ariana cries more than anyone I ever know. If she was alive during medieval times, she could have been the town crier, because she's always crying, and that's fine. But she cries, like, if you're emotional, I love that. I think being sensitive is a superpower. I cry all the time too, but Ariana cries in the way where I'm not sure if she's okay, where like her whole body is shaking. On The Voice, she would be crying, rocking back and forth as if like something traumatic and just world ending is happening to her, but really just one of like her lousy contestants on The Voice are going home as planned. Like that's what the show is for. Like that was expected. She'd be like, like whenever one of her contestants were in the bottom, and I would be watching the screen like someone, like a medic needs to go help her. A medic needs to get on there and help that woman. Is she okay? And like, I love her. I just want to make sure she's like someone check her pulse. Get, like, calm her down. Give her a breathing mask, because she needs to keep breathing and breathing and breathing. And sometimes she just cries so hard. But anyway, she was crying really hard in this YouTube video that she just made for Vogue. She was doing a... She's such a Cancer for crying all the time, though, right? I forgot about astrology. I think that's, like, one of the main things Cancers do. They're just super fucking emotional. So she's really representing for all the Cancers out there. But she was doing this Vogue YouTube tutorial, you know, promoting Rem Beauty and stuff. And in this video, she opened up about how she used to get a lot of lip filler. A lot of lip filler. Like a lot. And she said she did it in up until 2018, but she was just doing it so much. And she's now looking back, would never do it again. She felt like she was hiding with all the makeup she would put on and all the lip filler she would get. And she seems upset that she used to use beauty as a way to hide. And now her relationship with beauty has changed. And I will say, Ariana Grande being her stan, she used to have so much lip filler. Like in 2018, I feel like she also had some post-2018. I vividly can recount exactly how she looked in her close-up angle shot at the Grammys in 2020. And she had pretty plump lips. So that may have been a lie. But she had, I would never say this out loud in 2018, ever. You would never catch me saying this out loud. I was going to take this secret to my grave. She had more lip filler than Kylie Jenner. More lip filler than Kylie Jenner. It was very obvious. I was like, where's the Ariana Grande lip challenge? Because really. And lip filler will... I feel like lip filler over time just is not very good for the lips. It has you looking like... Have you ever seen Glee? Has you looking like Trouty Mouth if you do it too much? Anyway, this is what Ariana is talking about.
Yeah, I... over the years used makeup as a disguise or as something to hide behind, and more and more hair, more and more thicker, the eyeliner, the whatever, you know, and that can be so beautiful at times, and I still do have love for it. I'm doing mascara. And appreciation for it. But I think As I get older, I don't love that being the intention behind it anymore. I think of it as self-expression now and accentuating what is here. Our relationships to beauty are so personal. Like, we're here talking about beauty secrets. Isn't the secret that we all just want to feel our best and be loved? Full transparency, as a beauty person, as I do my lips, I've had a ton of lip filler over the years and Botox. I stopped in 2018 because I just felt so too much. I just felt like hiding, you know? Didn't expect to get emotional. Take 300. No, for a long time, beauty was about hiding for me. And now I feel like maybe it's not. Since I stopped getting fillers and Botox, and maybe I'll start again one day, I don't know. To each their own. Whatever makes you feel beautiful, I do support. But I know for me, I was just like, oh, I want to see my well-earned cry lines and smile lines. I hope my smile lines get deeper and deeper and I laugh more and more. And I just think aging is like such a, it can be such a beautiful thing. Now, might I get a facelift in 10 years? Might, yeah. But these are just thoughts that I feel like we should be able to discuss if we're sitting here talking about beauty secrets. Fuck it, let's lay it all out there.
So there's lots to learn there. And I'm so obsessed with her. I love her so much. And she's constantly inspirational. You can tell she's a very spiritual person just from her music and how she lives her life. And she's constantly on her human journey. But I love when she says, isn't the secret that we all just want to feel our best and feel loved? That's the beauty secret we all want. So that's definitely what we can learn there. And I think that's so true. The secret is that we all just want to feel our best and feel loved. And I hate the feeling makes me sad when people do feel like they're hiding their appearance with their beauty secrets and their beauty hacks and their makeup and their plastic surgery, because it makes me feel as though they don't think they're worthy of love unless they look a certain way. But you totally are. No matter what your current beauty situation is, if you are on an upswing, you know, you gain 10 pounds or you have pimples or having a bad hair cut month or hair dye, like you're just looking bad in what you deem yourself as looking bad. Trust me, you don't. You look phenomenal and you're worthy of love no matter what. And she's so right that we're constantly chasing this never-ending cycle of wanting to look our best because we just want to feel loved and feel accepted and feel okay. And I think once we can acknowledge that that's at the core of everything we do with our appearance, that's when you can start accepting yourself truly. And that's when you can take some of the pressure off of your appearance. Because once you can face the fact that I'm doing all of these hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars of procedures and daily routines just so I feel fucking kind of good about myself, and this guy will like me, or they'll like me, or this person will like me, it almost makes you step back and go, wait, I'm worthy of love no matter what. I don't need to look a certain way to just be accepted and feel as though I am worthy of accepting that love that comes to me. You know how it's hard for us to accept compliments sometimes because we don't believe them? When I feel like I'm looking bad that day, someone compliments me and I'll be like, no, you're wrong. Outside, I'll say thank you. But in my head, I'm like, you're so wrong. That compliment was undeserved. It's not because we're not worthy of love if we don't look good. It's because we don't think we're worthy of love if we don't look good. We don't believe it. And we need to retrain ourselves to know people admire us and think we look amazing and beautiful no matter what we look like. When you're talking to someone, they're not staring at your whole appearance. They're looking into your eyes. They're loving your energy and your soul and all of that. Our beauty comes from within. And we deserve love because of who we are from within. And that's the beauty hack that we all need to take away from this. We just want to feel good and feel loved. And the way to that is being a great fucking person. But all this beauty stuff is so valid. If we want to feel good, of course we want to look good. As they say, feel good, do good. No, sorry. They say look good, feel good, do good. But it's true. So go do all these things. Go get your hair done, your makeup done, get the plastic surgery. Because at the end of the day, you're still worthy of love no matter what. But if those extra things just make you happy, or your hobby is like chasing aesthetics, or you're really passionate about the vibe you give off and your whatever you're serving, of course do that if that'll make you feel great. But at the end of the day, the pressure isn't on that. So I was interviewing Blac Chyna last week. That's something that we need to catch up on. It's so crazy, you know, being the professor of pop culture and talking about it on TikTok and my podcast all the time and obsessing over it. I take it really seriously too, as you can tell. I take it super seriously. So it's so crazy when all my thoughts and obsessions about pop culture manifest into me really in real life entering that world. You know, I got the opportunity last week to interview a lot of great celebrities. I don't know if you saw my Instagram story, Petty Pop Culture, but I was posting with them, Blac Chyna and JoJo Siwa, Tom Sandoval, Savannah Chrisley, Tyler Cameron, so many amazing people on the new Fox show, Special Forces. It's a reality show, so I'm not scabbing by accepting the job. And I actually emailed the SAG-AFTRA strike team before to get the blessing to do the job because I stand with SAG, of course. They deserve their equal pay. I support their message and the strike 100%. But they gave me their blessing. So I got to interview them. And I want to talk about my interview with Blac Chyna. It went so good. I got to talk to her for 3 minutes. That was the time slot I was given. And by the end of the 3 minutes, me and Blac Chyna hugged because we got on so well. Like, normally you don't see celebrities hugging the person that they just interviewed them on a red carpet. So it's just the best. It's the most validating, I would say, like, fulfilling feeling when you get an opportunity to do something that you love and are passionate about and you succeed at it. But I was talking to her about her journey of reversing all her plastic surgery. And that morning was the morning Ariana Grande posted the Vogue interview of her crying about her lip filler. So I asked Blac Chyna, I go, this journey that you're on of redoing your, of undoing your plastic surgeries and becoming all of a sudden super open about every single little procedure you had done seems to be having instant impact in the world of celebrities. It's opened conversations with so many people in the last month, feeling almost the pressure was taken off of them about their plastic surgery and they could stop the facade and just tell everyone what they've had done. I didn't drag it on this much, but in summary, this is like what I asked her. I just asked, how does it feel to have that fast impact happen from taking that risk and undoing all these surgeries and telling everyone what you had done? And I was referring to Ariana Grande. I was also referring to Kylie Jenner, who a few weeks ago admitted she had a boob job and she's never done that before. And she was just talking about how it feels so good and it's inspiring to her that other people feel the same way in Hollywood. And she's so happy she can have a positive impact on people. And we just had a great conversation about it. I'm going to post my interview with her on my TikTok, Petty Pop Culture, very soon. It needs to be approved. You know, I sent it in for approval and all of that. You know how all that goes. It takes days and a bunch of edits and something I've been super busy with as well. But it's so great getting to talk about these topics and then going to ask the source directly how she feels about it. But it is a really interesting conversation that she's open. And I wonder what other celebrities will come forward about their plastic surgery that could have stemmed from this Blac Chyna moment. But she was so sweet in person. Holy shit, her vibe was so nice. Of course, she's had the drama with the Kardashians. She sued them for $100 million. And just a whole other slew of things going on in the world. But her aura was incredible. She was so tiny in person. She had huge muscular arms. We were like flexing our arms together for the camera. We were laughing. And I love her music too. So I was telling her how much I love her music and she was just eating it up. She was amazing. JoJo Siwa also, exactly how you think she'd be in person. Exactly. She's so fucking energetic. Like, she just is naturally like the embodiment of caffeine. So energetic. She gave such a great interview. So sweet. I was asking her about her past TikToks. I was doing this bit where I was like, it's time to grill you on your past TikToks. And I was asking her about all of them. And we were laughing together. I was telling her how she's a Gen Z gay icon, just like me. She gave an incredible interview. I'm so excited to post that. Tyler Cameron was even sexier in person. Tom Sandoval. I got a good one with him. And then I saw him out at the club like 2 days later. And he went up to me and like shook my hand. And we were getting along. So it's just crazy, like, being in this world. And moving to LA like opened up all of that so much. But all I have to say, like, there's really no tea to spill from these celebrities. They were all so nice. So fucking nice. All the interviews went flawlessly. It's almost like people in person are not as drama-y and volatile as they are online or in the press, because people do things to get attention, obviously, but these celebrities in person, they just want to go through their day and get their business done. So, but if I ever do interview a celebrity and it does not go good and they're not nice, actually, I actually interviewed Megan Fox's ex-husband as well, and he was nice, but the answers he was giving to my questions, I did not know how to respond to. He was so weird. Brian Austin Green, at one point, I was just looking at him like he was a psychopath. And then at the end, I was like, this is maybe the worst interview I've ever had. And then he was just cracking up. You have to see it. Oh my God. But yeah, if I ever interview a celebrity and they were just completely horrible, you will definitely know. Scooter Braun is Public Enemy number one, and he has been for about a month, especially in the music industry, because Scooter Braun used to run the music industry like the fucking mob. He's the most savage, ruthless talent manager in the world. However, because of that savageness, he's also very effective, making huge names like out of his clients, like Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande. Drake even rapped about him in his song Pop Star, because he's so synonymous with pop stars that he had to be mentioned in the song. He said, "And I'm a troublesome, yeah, I'm a pop star, but the shit ain't bubblegum. Yeah, you would probably think my manager is Scooter Braun. Yeah, but my manager with 20 hoes in Budokan. Yeah, I bodied that. I'm a better rapper than Drake. Oh my God. And I'm not crying all the time like Drake." But anyway, Scooter Braun is famous beyond music. Most famous for selling Taylor Swift's masters and basically being evil in the press. That's what people make him out to be, an evil man. His castle is now crumbling because of what Taylor said. Karma is real. Karma's going to track him down step by step from town to town. Karma for him is not a relaxing thought. His castle has been crumbling this month. There's been a mass exodus of pop stars from Scooter Braun. Like Justin Bieber stopped being managed by him, which is crazy because he like raised Justin Bieber. Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Carly Rae Jepsen, J Balvin, Idina Menzel, Ava Max just left him. I was like worried that Ava was going to be the only one left with him and look really bad because I love Ava Max. But she just left him. I was like, oh my God, thank God. She was a bit late to the trend, but she did. Not only that, but they also all unfollowed him, which to me makes it very serious, because if you just had a casual falling out or a nice departure, you wouldn't unfollow. Do you know what I'm saying? My manager, I love him. I wouldn't unfollow him if we had a nice break from each other. I really wouldn't. So that was very interesting to me. Like even Ariana Grande unfollowed him, and he helped her through the donut licking scandal and everything. So to give some insight about how evil this man is, I want to talk about three songs that have been written about him. Isn't it weird that a manager has had so many songs written about him? You know, pop stars usually maybe want to write about the love interest or something inspirational, but no. About this manager guy. So the first one is by Madison Beer, and this is brand new. So this is why this is relevant right now. Madison Beer, the gorgeous goddess, just released her album this week called Silence Between Songs. What a clever name for an album. Silence Between Songs. It makes you think. It makes you want to listen to it. Such a good fucking name for an album. I went to her album release party too, and I got to see her there. It was so amazing. She's so incredible, so sweet, so beautiful and ethereal. She's even more urethral in person than she is online, and she was so nice to talk to. But Scooter Braun has done her very dirty in the past, and it's taken her a very long time to get to this part of her career. So she used to be signed to him when she was 13 because Justin Bieber, quote unquote, saw her singing on YouTube and reached out to her. But it was not Justin Bieber. He never saw her singing on YouTube. Scooter Braun just picked her up because he thought he could turn her into the female Justin Bieber. And then when her first single didn't do very well, he completely dropped her. Madison said in an interview, looking back on it after she was completely abandoned by Scooter Braun and her whole team and record label, she said, I felt so lucky to be signed to a label, signed to Scooter Braun, no Justin Bieber, and then out of nowhere, it was all gone. No more Scooter Braun, no more Justin Bieber, not even my lawyers would talk to me anymore. No one was the same. Everyone left me. Can you believe that? He plucked her out of obscurity at such a young age, changed her whole life, moved her to LA, moved her family, and then just leaves her because it didn't immediately, like she didn't immediately become Justin Bieber. So there's this new song on her album called King of Everything. King of Everything. And I love that. You know she's just going to diss some ego-inflated guy. And it's really drama because she posted that audio on TikTok of the girl going like, oh my God, I love this question. So I think, and the caption is, when people ask me what King of Everything is about. And then, you know, so that got some drama going. People already thought it was about Scooter Braun. And we're going to get into the lyrics. But Hailey Bieber commented on it, who obviously is in relation with Justin Bieber. And she commented, I think, .. Like she knows who it's about because she knows Scooter and why Justin left him and everything. So here are the lyrics that paint Scooter Braun out to be a terrible person. She says, look at you go, walking on everyone like stepping stones. Building a home made up of gold, of people you hurt, bridges to Hollywood. You took, then burned. I hope it was worth it. What you get, you'll deserve it. Easy come, easy go. Thought the view from the top would be different. In this stone-cold bed that you made, now you sleep in it alone. He's divorced now. His wife left him. We're not sure why. Maybe Taylor Swift slipped her an envelope. And that's why they're divorced. But now he sleeps in it alone. He also has no clients anymore, so that's why he sleeps in it alone. Then she goes on and says, baby, you're the king of everything. Building castles in the sand that crumble in your hands. Baby, you're the king of everything. And right now, you're the man. But no one gives a damn. When the rain comes pouring down to wash away your crown. Look at what you've done. Taking advantage of people so young. Riding the high road on everyone's lows. Easy come, easy go. Thought the view from the top would be different in the stone cold bed that you made. Now you sleep alone in it. Period. I love the lyric. Look what you've done. Taking advantage of people so young. Riding the high road on everyone's lows. Ugh, like he took her out of obscurity so young and just completely shattered her dreams once he had her in her hand. So fucked up. The next song I want to talk about is maybe my favorite in this, and it's about Ariana Grande. We're talking about her so much in this episode, but I'm just obsessed with her, so that's why I have to do that. She wrote a song called Jason's Song, and it is 100% about Scooter Braun's sorry ass. Go stream it right now, students. You'll love it, even beyond this, but it's definitely about a manager, and this is around the time she fired Scooter Braun in, like, 2016, 2017. We're still not exactly sure what she fired him for, probably for being a bitch. in some sort of capacity. And then he went and talked shit about her when she went back to him. He was like, when bad influences and bad boyfriends leave, she came back. Maybe there was a dispute with her boyfriend and her manager. I don't fucking know. But she wrote this song called Jason's Song, and that seemed to reveal why she left him. The lyrics go, it seems to be about a manager who wouldn't invest in his client or didn't believe in his client, didn't give them enough to help them succeed. And this is around the time that Dangerous Woman went number two on Billboard, not number one. So maybe they're having some fights about that. Maybe she wasn't getting the promotion she needed. But in the song, it says, you can't outrun the way you undersold me. You acted like you bought me at a bargain sale. You don't even care. You focused your frustration on a small detail, blew it out of scale, like my ponytail. I love that line. Well, if you don't want to see the girl I want to be, then why should I listen? If you don't want to do the things I need from you, goodbye. Goodbye. Because I gave it away, I gave it away, I gave it away, and now I'm taking it right back. I'm so obsessed with those lyrics. Holy fucking shit. Like, what a beautiful song about being undersold by someone who represents you or supposed to work for you. Especially the line, I gave it away, but I'm taking it back. Like, when you sign to someone, you give a lot of your career to them, but she's taking it fucking back. My old managers, like the first managers I had, they're definitely not listening to this anymore. They would just not work very hard for me. They didn't understand my vision. So I understand why she says, like, you undersold me. You act like you got me at a bargain sale. It's a really heartbreaking song too, actually. Like, it'd be really sad to be thought of as your work confidant. They don't even care about you. They don't even believe in you. What a discouraging thing to feel. You acting like you bought me at a bargain sale. You don't even care. You So I'm so happy she feels like better now. Now she can have a new manager. Fuck him. But of course, we have the Taylor Swift song about him. Vigilante shit. The song is all about how she seeked revenge against him for how he went about obtaining her masters. In the past, she talked about how scared she was when Scooter Braun bought them. She said, never in my worst nightmares did I imagine that the buyer would be Scooter. Anytime Scott Borchetta heard me say the words Scooter Braun escape my lips, it was when I was either crying or trying not to. He knew what he was doing. They both did. Controlling a woman who did not want to be associated with them. And the lyrics to that song starts real strong. She says, draw a cat eye sharp enough to kill a man. You did some bad shit, but I'm the worst of them. She continues and she goes, she needed the cold hard proof, so I gave her some. She had the envelope. Where you think she got it from? Now she gets the house, gets the kids, gets the pride. Picture me thick as thieves with your ex-wife. And she looks so pretty, driving in your Benz. Lately, she's been dressing for revenge. Later in the song, she goes, well, he was doing lines and crossing all of mine. Someone told his white-collar crimes to the FBI. I don't dress for villains or for innocence. I'm on my vigilante shit again. Ugh. I'm so obsessed with her. The lyrics about doing cocaine, there was rumors that him and Justin would do that together. Just rumors. Allegedly, he was allegedly being investigated by the FBI at some point a few years ago. There's a photo of his wife carrying a big envelope before their divorce. So maybe he committed some sort of white-collar crime that she was able to take him to court for. That could have been the start of his whole career unfolding. But as we know about Taylor Swift, revenge is her middle fucking name. Her middle name isn't Allison. It's Taylor Revenge Swift. So she completely ended his life after he did maybe the worst thing ever done to her, which was steal a decade of her life in music. Fucking legend. And isn't it weird that this man who's just a fucking manager, like, go type on your laptop and get these people good opportunities and do your fucking job. But why do you make so many people hate you? You think you're the king of Hollywood, changing careers, riding so high, going to go party on a yacht in Greece. thinking you're some A-list celebrity when really you're just a manager who should stay in his fucking place and stop ruining everyone's lives that you come in contact to. You're not the king of everything. You're just a fucking fool. But yeah, hopefully that's provided some insight into why he is such a hated person in the industry. But what can we learn from this? I think we can learn about a lot of these recounts of what people went through with him, like Madison and Ariana. We can just learn to love someone when they're going through their bad times and their good times. Like, it seemed like he was underselling Ariana when she was having a dip for a moment. He completely left Madison Beer when she was having bad sales in her music. But look at her now. She had a massive hit last year with Reckless. Her career is going amazing. Look at Ariana now, one of the biggest stars in the whole world. Everything she does goes number one, and she doesn't want to work with him anymore. So it's just the saying, you can't have me at my amazing moments if you don't want me at my bad moments. And I think we don't want to be a person like Scooter Braun. We don't want to be someone who is a fair weather friend. A fair weather friend is someone who's only with you for the good times. But as soon as things get hard, or you don't have as much social currency or a benefit for them to be your friend, they leave. We do not want to be that. We don't want to be Scooter Braun. And yes, that could be seen as business as well, but he doesn't have to do it in such a horrible, disgusting way that you have to traumatize Madison Beer. So don't be that person. Be a real friend. Be a good person. Yes. Period. Or karma will track you down step by step from town to town, as Taylor said, probably referring to Scooter Braun as well. Can we talk about me going to Madison Beer's album release party? It was so fucking fun. Like, this week has been so crazy, just meeting so many incredible stars who I look up to and admire, especially Madison Beer. So her album release party was at this really amazing mansion in Brentwood in LA. And I say that because the mansion was so Madison Beer. If you know her brand, it's very fairy tale, storytelling, almost opera-esque, her music. Very like Motown-y opera mixed vibes. So there is this fairy tale castle that it just looked like she would wake up there and float down the stairs like they do in the Barbie movie. And when I was there, like, she was handing out free things. I got the sweatshirt and the cookie and the vinyl. It looked like I won the Madison Beer sweepstakes. David Dobrik was there. I ignored him. As we know, I never talk about David Dobrik. I think he is broken beyond repair. He cannot be rehabilitated. He's a horrible person. So he was there. You think I would be like, oh my God, David. No. I want no clout from him. I avoided him at all costs. Imagine he listens to this podcast. But other cool people were there. Khalid was there. James Charles, who I actually don't hate, think he's a fine person, was there. And so I talked to Madison after. Also, the guy who played Rico in Hannah Montana. Rico! So fucking hilarious. A pillar of my childhood, truly. So I said hi to him. But I went to talk to Madison after I got a few drinks in me. There was 818 tequila being served. She's so unapproachable because she's so beautiful and sexy and perfect and talented. She's a goddess. But she's so approachable at the same time. She's so nice and normal. She has such a warm energy about her. I go up to her and I'm just fangirling, saying all this shit. I said what I just said in this podcast. I was like, I feel like you wake up at this mansion and float down the stairs like in Barbie. And she was like, thank you. She probably was like eyeing her security after, like, watch this guy because he's weird. But it was a lovely party. And then afterwards, we didn't realize our cellular reception would be completely cut. So me and the three people I came with, my friend Adam the Flop and two people who were visiting me from Chicago who are our plus ones, we have no ride home. And all of these people who run in these circles were very prepared. And I was not. So they all had ride shares prepared or rides home. Not us. We are the last people there. Everyone leaves. Just like how everyone left Madison Beer in her career back in the day. Everyone left. We were there alone. And they turned off all the lights. So we're at this beautiful house. Up in the hills, no reception, pitch black, no money, no family, 16 in the middle of Miami. The security even left us at one point because their shift was over. After the shift was over, they only care about their own security. They said, peace, figure it out. they were like, oh, also there's rattlesnakes all around here, so good luck. So we're just trudging down this hill, high as fuck up in the mountains, trying to get somewhere where there's reception. It sounds like the beginning of a horror movie. What turned into a beautiful night at a mansion, then leaves four young gay men stranded and they die. It sounds like some Ryan Murphy horror film that I would love to be a part of, but not in real life. So eventually Adam finds kind of a spot with reception and we get a lift, but the lift is halfway to us. The reception cuts again. So we have no, it's been like 20 minutes. We don't know where this lift is. Just trudging down the mountain. But for some reason, we were not really scared. We were so happy. We drank so much A1A tequila to build up the courage to talk to Madison that we actually had a wonderful time in that dark, scary road. I don't know where, like, Caitlyn Jenner could have came out blind as fuck and hit us with her car like she does to people on her way to her house. We didn't care. No one killed us, thankfully. The Hollywood murder didn't get to us, and we finally got to our lift. But it was really fucking scary for a moment there. And then after that, we lifted right to the clubs. And like I said, I won the Madison Beer sweepstakes because I got all the free stuff because I'm such an annoying fan. Like, I know I'm not her peer. I'm just an annoying fan. Like, they invited an annoying fan to this event. We'll probably not be again. So I go to the club, like, right after, and I have her vinyl, and I'm just dancing with it the whole time, putting it up in the air as if I'm a bottle service girl waving around a happy birthday sign for some horrible guy. I am dancing like a maniac. I'm dancing like Britney Spears in her kitchen. Everyone is looking at me like, what a fucking freak. What is this guy doing? But they're also, the important thing is, I was dancing really hard to get the attention to promote her album, because everyone was like, wait, what vinyl are you holding? They're like, you freak over there. What vinyl is that? Even the strippers were looking at it like, oh, who is that? I was like, it's Madison Beer, Silence in Between Songs. I want to highlight one of the songs on her album that I think is so fucking beautiful. And she sings like a siren on it. Ever since I've seen The Little Mermaid, I call every singer who has a good voice a siren, because I just think that's such a fun name to call a good singer. Madison Beer is such a siren, and people don't give her enough credit. She has the voice of an angel. And there's a song on her album that's so poetic, and it's the epitome of her type of music. So if you like this song, you'll really like her. But the message of the song is so deep. It's called Envy the Leaves. Envy the Leaves. You're jealous of the leaves. And the message, holy shit, I listened to it 50 fucking times this past week, and I cry almost every single time. I don't cry every single time like Ariana Grande, but I do feel it. I've never really thought of this before, but it's a song about being afraid of change. And she's jealous of the leaves and everything in nature, because the leaves on the trees go through the seasons and they're not afraid of the change that's going to come with every season. They blissfully go through the year. But us as humans, it's in our human nature to be afraid of change, to be afraid of every new season, every new year. Because we expect the best. And so, no. We expect the worst. We expect the absolute worst to happen. But the leaves that she envies, they're totally okay with blooming and then withering, turning orange and brown, then falling off, then blossoming again, getting the buds again, and then being bright trees again. They're totally okay with the cycles of life. And we're not. So she's saying she envies the leaves. But in the chorus of the song, she says, why don't we try to tell ourselves that the best is yet to come and not be afraid of change anymore. She sings it so beautifully, but she's like, why don't we try and lie and say or something that the best is yet to come? Why don't we try that just for once? Oh, it's so good, but you just need to listen to it. I think that's what we can learn from this, or just a little piece of wisdom here, to not be afraid of change and to always hope for the best. Expect the best. You deserve to be happy, and the next season will be only better and better and better forever. And do not be afraid of change, just like nature isn't afraid of change. The best is yet to come. Why don't we try that just for one? For us. if you listened to last episode, you know, last week was like the worst week of my fucking life. I had no apartment, no car because my car broke down. I was in Airbnbs. I was Ubering everywhere. I was a nomad, a gypsy. It was really terrible and soul crushing. And it was so sad having no place to call home. And it was like a really displacing feeling. Plus my love life was going terrible. I was like ranting about how I need a man so bad because I'm so lonely and bored and in my stirrups all by myself. And I was like, I promise you I'll have a boyfriend in 1 week. So I've definitely had an upswing this week. Thank God. This was the good weekend and week I deserve after that awful, terrifying week. So here's an update on the spider situation. I put out a poll on last episode and I said, should I break my lease since I was offered that option because of my spider infestation, or should I stay because they chemically treated it and I should just see how it goes? So 61% of you guys said break the lease. 39% said stay. It will work out. So I have an answer to that. My car also broke down and now I'm learning that I will basically need a new one. So I'm going to decide to try to stay in the apartment for now and buy a new car instead. So while the guidance from you guys is very appreciated and I know you're right, like I know I should just break the lease, I'm feeling as though it may not be responsible to do that right now because I need to get around as well. And I have so many bug precautions taken now. I have traps set up everywhere. I have sprays and many lines of defense. And hopefully they can like chemically treat it once a month to just keep it up to date because I know that's a routine thing that people have done. I have not been bitten since. And I've lived in here again for like a week. I even slept with all the lights off this week. I was sleeping with the lights on for a few days because the bugs wouldn't come out, you know, if the lights were on. That's so embarrassing to admit, but I literally was. And I slept with the lights off this time. I did not get anything. So thank goodness. I had some friends over from Chicago. They stayed with me, who I've been like waiting to see for a while, and they didn't get bit. I, of course, told them about the situation. They were like, I don't care. Like, they're just young, dumb, broke people who want to go out. So they're like, okay, that's fine. And they didn't. We had the most amazing fun time together. We did all the events. It's just nice to have someone here to go to things with, because I have friends here. I'm making a lot of friends here, but at the same time I just feel so comfortable with my Chicago sisters, close to my heart and my soul, and I miss them so much. I woke up one day like Sunday morning and one of them were passed out on my bathroom floor. I just had to pee standing over them, hoping they didn't wake up because they were, you know, passed out from the night before and everything. But I've been talking about all the fun events and celebrities I got to meet that are so important to me and special to me because I've looked up to them, and amazing brand deals this week as well. Also, continuing the winning streak I'm on, this gorgeous, 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 sexy man in my apartment, me and him started talking. Oh my goodness, his photos online. We were on a certain app that you can go on to see who is close to you. That certain app is called Grindr. I was that down bad. Like, you guys know I was down bad. So I was on there and he goes, oh, we're super close. And he's like, what building are you in? And I lie and say the one next to this one. And he's like, oh, I'm in the name of my building. And I was like, oh, well, we're not in the same building, but we should hang out. And then we were just talking for a while and he was really like normal. So I was like, okay, fine. We're actually in the same building. And I went to his apartment. He's so much hotter in person. He has like a Henry Cavill Superman look to him, totally steroided out. And that's my type. He's 30 year old. He's 30 years old. I don't know why I said that. He's 30 year old. Can I speak English? He's 30 years old. And you guys know I used to talk to 30 year olds exclusively and I've since given them up. Because I'm sorry, if you're listening to this and you're 30, I just don't know if we would get along. I just don't know. I think my students, I would. You guys are the only 30-year-olds I would really get along with. But millennials to me are just so cringy. There's like I feel like they're the worst generation since the boomers. I'm kidding. I'm clearly obsessed with them. That's why I was talking to them for so long. It's just the appearance, though. It's just like that appearance of like a grown man. But anyway, I fell for it again. But he's so gorgeous. We're having the best time. So hopefully that will continue. And it's so nice having someone that lives like 2 seconds away from me be able to like fulfill that. So we're on an upswing with everything. Hopefully we'll continue talking and it will go well and all of those things. So riding high in April, shot down in May. That's life, as Frank Sinatra would say. It goes up and down and over and out, but you just have to get through the annoying, horrible times and you will be rewarded with some good, relieving, celebratory time. So that's what I'm going through now. Very positive updates with everything. Hopefully I don't get more spider bites and more broken hearts, but we will see. So speaking of someone who's also going through an upswing in their life, Taylor Swift. There's a new number one contender for Taylor Swift's heart. And dating her is like, who's going to date Princess Diana? You know, everyone wants to know. She's the queen of love. She's the she's like the doctor of love. So her love life is analyzed because she's written so much about love. It's just like she should be the love expert. She should be the best at it because she's the best at singing about it. So analyzing her love life is very real. So who is this new man in her life? Well, his name is Travis Kelce. Do you recognize that name? I'm curious, students. Do you recognize Travis Kelce's name? So he is a footballer. And while I normally don't know anything about sports balls and what goes on with that, I actually do know this guy pretty well because he used to have a reality show called Catching Kelce on E! And it was like a dating show where he was basically The Bachelor. But instead of The Bachelor on ABC, there was like basically just a lineup of Instagram baddies vying for some TV time to launch their reality TV career, and Travis was not taking it very seriously at all. Like, truly, it was not very serious. It was like The Bachelor without the proposal bullshit at the end. But I did like him. I did like Travis Kelce on Catching Kelce. He seemed like a straight man who was stomachable. He does have a podcast, so that is really horrible. And that's a red flag. But on the show, he seemed like free of toxic masculinity. He seemed really like he had a feminine side. I could tell that he was in touch with his feminine side. Oh, you're a hell of a guy. I just remember liking him. Not super misogynistic. So he went to the Eras Tour and he made her a friendship bracelet, as the iconic Eras Tour experience goes. But on his friendship bracelet that he wanted to give to her was his phone number. That's actually so fucking smart. And I would give him points if I was Taylor Swift just for that. Like, I would maybe talk to him. I probably wouldn't text him just for that, but I would talk to him just for that. I think that would be, like, super cool. And I love the confidence that you can get the most famous person in the world. You have to have some confidence for that. And Travis Kelce definitely has that. He's known for, like, running his mouth in the media a little bit. So that definitely makes me nervous. We don't need any fame fuckers out here. But I do like the confidence. I like his energy. He doesn't have any, you know, impending cancellations going on. So it's fine. But he talked about not getting to actually give her the bracelet. He said, I was disappointed that she didn't talk before or after her show because she has to save her voice for the 44 songs that she sings. I was a little butthurt. I didn't get to hand her one of the bracelets I made for her. He was disappointed, but he still appreciated Taylor's impressive performance. He said, she doesn't meet anybody, or at least she didn't want to meet me before the show. So I took it personal. But it was an unbelievable show. That's weird to me that he would take it personal, because like, what entitlement do you have that you think you deserve to meet her before the show? Like, don't take it personal, baby. She doesn't know you. She doesn't personally know you. She's not meeting anyone before the show, and no one else is taking it personal. So keep that to yourself. Again, the friendship bracelet idea was smart. I should have made one with my routing number on it so she can give me maybe one of those bonuses she gave to her employees with $100,000. But yeah, allegedly Travis and Taylor have been quietly hanging out. Allegedly. These are pretty thinly put out there rumors. We're not sure if they're true at all. Allegedly, they've been quietly hanging out, talking a bit. Taylor Swift is on the prowl. She's dating, as she should, as she deserves to be. You know, they share workplaces. They both work in stadiums. They have that in common. And the NFL seems to be running with the idea that they're together, because anytime they talk about a play that Travis just did, they'll make a Taylor Swift reference. Like, one of the commentators said, touchdown Travis Kelce. Kelce finds a blank space for the score. Oh my God, that pun is fucking terrible.
Motion man, low snap. Mahomes moving pocket. Mahomes floats it up. Caught! Touchdown Travis Kelce! Kelce finds a blank space for the score.
Another one said, even though that bone is bruised and the injury is one that you would think is delicate, he's been able to shake it off. I can't deal with that. The NFL is loving this, but she's still not going to do the Super Bowl, bitch. She still doesn't want to give you the clout or the views for the Super Bowl. You fucking wish. She doesn't need you. You need her. Travis has also been fucking with the press about it. Anytime he would get interviewed after his games, they would, you know, talk to him about it, how he feels about Taylor Swift. And when he asked how he feels about Taylor, he said, I said what I said and I meant what I said. You know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to talk about my personal life. I know what you writers want to hear and you want to hear more about that. And I'm not going to give you anything. So people think he's getting a little bit tight-lipped about it because, yes, he's admitted to liking her, but now all of a sudden he wants to get quiet. So people think he's being tight-lipped because they actually are talking. He's one to talk. He's one to share everything. So the fact that for the first time in his life, he's being quiet, it makes you think, you know, Taylor's NDAs are probably very thick. So the commentator even just directly asked him, did Taylor Swift reach out to you? And his response was, well, that's going to be a wrap here. And he left that interview. I'm not sure if she would date Travis Kelce, though. He's an unproblematic man who has a stable job. So that's not her type. I definitely approve of him more than Matty Healy, for sure. He's sexy too. Like, let me like describe you his physical appearance. And as a gay man, I'll give you great detail. So he's like 6'4". He has the most perfect bulky build. Like, you can tell he's eating so well. He's gone to the gym for probably 15 years. He has in a luscious beard that only a man above the age of 30 could grow, a deep ginger color to it, sexy brown eyes, porcelain pale skin, and a fat ass. Just a sexy man that you would want to climb all over. Like, I would want to climb him like a tree. And Taylor Swift would look really short and like petite and gorgeous next to him. However, she is from Philadelphia, so Taylor Swift is an Eagles fan. I think she made a comment about being an Eagles fan at her tour. And I didn't know this. I just learned this. But apparently the Chiefs and Eagles are, they have a feud. They're beefing because one of them won the Super Bowl last year and Travis is on the Chiefs. So maybe that means their love can never be. I'm not sure, but maybe they can be like love story, even though the stars weren't aligned for them and their families don't want them together. Maybe they can still date. She's never dated athletes before. She never really dated bulky men. She likes a man that looks like he forgets to eat until like 10 p.m. every day. Like, and that his breakfast at 10 p.m. is a pack of cigarettes and a Red Bull. Like, if they can't share skinny jeans, she doesn't want it. Or she just wants women. Either of those. But yeah. She could be using him to expand her empire to complete world domination because I feel like she has almost every single fan base except maybe a few. And one of those is the sports fans. I guess she's never really talked about in sports media because, you know, she's never dated an athlete. So maybe she could be using that to expand her empire. Could be super smart, but Travis could be using her as well. So let's hope that is not true. But I'm very curious to see where this goes because this would be a fun twist in the Taylor Swift dating love story. And I think he'd be a worthy contender. So I'm not against this. I'm not for this. We'll have to see what comes out about this. And we will definitely update you next time, students. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me on Pop Culture University today. I appreciate all my students so fucking much. The question we asked last week in the polls that you can see under this episode that you can respond to this time to be mentioned next episode. Last question was, who is someone in your life that went from someone you know to someone you don't? And I love reading your guys' responses and getting an insight to your lives because there's a lot of really good, interesting ones, but these are really sad as well. Maria said, my BF. It's sad to say, but it's true. Unfortunately, we live in the second Great Depression, so we are working on it, but shit, a bitch can't do it out here alone anymore. Yeah, it's not easy. Capitalism is making people depressed and tearing people apart and making people, you know, change to accommodate to whatever life or job they need to do. It's really horrible. Capitalism is the root of all evil. Ossier, or 40, said, most of my, quote, best friends were people I knew, but now they're people I do not know. Yeah. That's always fucked up when you feel like you spend so much time with a best friend and even get more intimate with them than, you know, a lover of some sort. It's like a deeper cut. So I'm very sorry that you had to go through that. But now you know to spend time with people who could actually be true best friends and stop worrying about them. Afton said, my ex-husband, don't get married at 19 kids. Yeah, truly. I mean, I know all about that for my parents, but you're definitely just now who you are at 19 for, you know, your whole life. I'm so different from when I was 19. That's 4 years ago. Jessica Vinale said, myself. Damn, Jessica, that's deep. But that's a good thing because we should be changing, hopefully in positive ways, and hopefully the baseline of our souls and personality should be the same. But positive change and regrowth is also very, very good as well. Gabby Rue is 28, said, also love your podcast so much. My childhood friend was best friends until she became popular and did not do good things, and then we stopped talking. She pretended like we don't know each other. Well, Gabby, thank you for saying you love my podcast. I'm sorry that your best friend was a social climber. How fake and horrible. You do not deserve that. And you're very kind for putting in a lot of effort and time into that best friend just for her to see you as a stepping stone of sorts. But just know her new friends are not real. If she saw you as someone so expendable like that, her new friends are not real at all. So the real one who's losing here is her, because she's going to go through life having no real friends and only focusing on some sort of make-believe status that she thinks she's getting. So you win, Gabby. Callie said, my two girl best friends. We didn't talk all summer because I stopped reaching out. Now I learned that they were together the whole summer, and when they got bored, they decided to finally reach out. They met because of me. Damn. It's like that Halsey song. I'm the one who put y'all up there. Now you're doing this. This is the thanks you get for bringing them together. Fake bitches. They deserve each other. Those fake bitches that deserve each other. Terrible. Greta said, my dad, after he remarried when I was like 12 or 13, he completely changed. We grew apart. Oh my God, my dad remarried when I was 12. So we have that in common, Greta. But that's literally so terrible and like the deepest cut. I'm so sorry. That's literally so depressing. If that happened to me, I would not be able to recover. Like, I'd be a mess forever. So I'm deeply, deeply sorry. And I'm hoping you guys can come together one day. Hopefully he can change back, and or not completely change back, but realize, you know, the family that he used to hold so close to his heart. And I really hope that for y'all. Crispy said, my brother, we used to be really close. Now he's super racist and homophobic. When I call my friends, he calls me slurs and he tries to stab me. I'm not in real danger, but it's embarrassing. I miss him. Yeah, Crispy, I would maybe for the best let your brother be a changed human being elsewhere, far away from you. And when he finally decides to be normal again and not be a hater and potentially a murderer, you can talk to him again. But it sounds like he's going through way too many things for you to try to be the one to fix him. It's so sad when someone takes a bad road and changes for the worse, but they will come back around. So best of luck to your brother, and I hope he does not stab you. But anyway, thank you all for joining. I'm very excited for next week's episode. I feel like I had to leave some stuff out, like Jimmy Fallon getting canceled and Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher getting canceled. Lots of people being canceled this week, so hopefully we can do an episode on that. Plus, there was a lot of failed cancellations of people who came back, so I'm very excited for next episode. We're going to get into all of that. But yeah, y'all are dismissed. Class is dismissed. So excited to be back talking. Hope you love the episode. DM me whatever. Rate this 5 stars. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave a cute review if you haven't. I love to read the reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So yeah. Respond to the question to be featured. Subscribe to the Snapchat show, Unfiltered Pop. Helps me out. Oh my God, they AI'd me this week on Unfiltered Pop. Oh my God. So if you want to hear my stupid AI voice, I get to approve what it's saying. But yeah, if you want to hear the horror, it doesn't even sound like me at all. So that could be a good laugh for you. Unfiltered Pop on Snapchat. But yeah, I will let you guys go. Have an amazing day, students. Bye. Love you all.